Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
That will invite our attention to talk about how to improve our families, to focus on them. The lesson schedule for this morning was that of making things right when things go wrong. I began this lesson several months ago trying to plan some of the things that I would say today. I realized in preparing this lesson, however, that I kept going back to one book of the Bible because it offered so much teaching and instruction. And so I've really titled the lesson, Precious Principles from Proverbs. This lesson will be a little bit different from the way I have addressed the other lessons. This lesson this morning will, for the most part, be a consideration of a number of Bible passages from the book of Proverbs. As we begin the lesson, I want to ask, who has the perfect spouse? Who has the perfect parent? Who has the perfect child? And when you come away with it, unless you're deluded or dishonest, none of us do. I'm not a perfect husband, nor is I a perfect son, nor am I a perfect father. And I would say that most of us would look at ourselves and say, we have failed and we have fallen in so many areas, but we still try to be what we ought to be. Can we have a happy home? And the answer is yes, we can. Well, this lesson will be drawn from the precious promises and precious principles from Proverbs. And I found out in studying the lesson, one of the greatest things found in the book of Proverbs is the emphasis on prevention. Preventing problems before they start. And then the second will be on prescription. That is, things that God's Word prescribes that we must do. Let's begin, first of all, with the idea of prevention. And I know that probably somewhere in your mind was a quote that you've heard many times from Henry Bracton, which is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that certainly is true in our homes. If you want to think about trying to make things right when things go wrong, one of the greatest things that you have to consider is, what if I can prevent things from going wrong to start with? And there are a number of passages which place emphasis upon this, and I'd like for you to consider some of these. Solomon begins the book of Proverbs this way, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck." If you think so much about who you are and where you are, you ought to look back and think about what your parents taught you. I know when you're probably in the 15 to 20 year age span, you think your parents are the dumbest people on the planet. However, as you grow a little bit older, you will begin to appreciate their wisdom more and more, to the point where you reach an age where you say, I can't believe how intelligent and how wise my parents were. We come to an understanding that our parents were able to provide for us some guidance, some direction that we need to know. If you'll just listen to your parents, your grandparents, you'll be able to prevent a lot of the problems that will arise. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Solomon went on to tell his son, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not travel on the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on." A lot of the problems that will develop in our family is by going down the wrong pathway and going down it with the wrong people. If you will look and see who your friends are, even those of us who are adults, and we will consider who it is that's trying to provide for us our guidance and our direction, if we'll avoid the path of the wicked people, if we will avoid walking on that pathway of life, we will find that we can prevent many of the problems which we face in this life. In chapter 13 and verse 10, Solomon says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Pride brings nothing but strife. You and I, if we could give ourselves a good, healthy dose of humility, could avoid a lot of the difficulties and the problems that arise in our lives. How many times have a husband and a wife come in to say that we need counseling, we need direction, we're not getting along in our family? And it doesn't take long to listen to the voices of those who are talking to realize that one or both are absorbed with self-pride. The fact that they are not willing to admit their own mistakes. They're not willing to admit the errors that they have made in their life. You and I need to realize we could prevent a lot of our problems if we would humble ourselves. Because with pride comes nothing but strife. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, Solomon writes, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." Many people do not realize the value of trying to be slow to wrath. Wrath is the point, to use the biblical term, where you flare up, not the deep-seated anger, but the flare up, the boiling up, the losing of one's temper. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. We need to realize that if things are becoming very tense, if things are becoming very heated, the best thing to do is to step back and let things cool down. It is only when we find ourselves impulsive, wanting to do things quickly, that we say things we ought not have said. That's the reason why in chapter 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I don't know about you, but I can look back at my life, and I can look back at times when if I had chosen a different word or a different tone of voice, it could have made a tremendous difference. You and I need to think about what we're going to say before we say it. We need to think about the consequences of what is said. We could prevent a tremendous amount of conflict within our family if we simply chose the right words and we chose them in the right tone of voice. Proverbs 16, verse 32, Solomon said, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." A lot of times in life, we want to exhibit that we are the strongest, that we are the ones with the power and the might. But Solomon says that the person who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules the spirit than the person who's able to rule a city. You see, for us to be able to grasp hold of our emotions, our actions, Solomon says you can prevent a lot of problems with doing that. Proverbs 17 and verse 14 says, "The beginning of strife is like the releasing of water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts." The beginning of strife is like the releasing of water. I don't know how many of you have watched the television for the past 24 hours, but if you have, you've seen what water can do in so many places. There's a vivid image in my mind of Bell Road at I-24 of a house floating there near the interstate and how a car floats into it and the house just implodes. You think about how it is that once that water begins to flow, you can't stop it. It's going to go where it's going to go and it's going to follow the path of least resistance. So Solomon says, therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. If you know where something will lead and you know how destructive it can be, then stop it before it starts. I think one of the greatest lessons that we could learn from today's lesson would not be always trying to fix something after the fact, but prevent the problem from ever occurring to start with. And if you and I would say, I know this is going to lead to strife, I know this is going to create contention, then stop it before it starts. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. We need to understand that if a person makes their life with people who are angry, people who are wrathful, people who are furious, that's what's going to turn out in life. I've been amazed how many people have been dating a person younger in life and see in that person a number of qualities that they do not enjoy, they do not like, and then they marry that person only to find out later that they're exactly what they portrayed themselves to be in the beginning. Many of the problems in marriage could be solved if a young man and a young woman would look very carefully at the person they're dating, and then to begin to say, will this person be like this after we get married? With a furious man, do not go. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Solomon uses what I call a humorous illustration, but makes a very important point. He who passes by and meddles with a matter or a quarrel not his own is like a man who takes a dog by the ears. One of the greatest lessons we could learn in life is to mind our own business. And that's what Solomon is saying here. For a person to interject themselves and insert themselves into something that is not their quarrel will find themselves soon being bit like by a dog. How many times has a husband or a wife or maybe a parent involved themselves in someone else's quarrel only to find themselves having been bitten by it? Solomon is trying to give us some great direction, some great wisdom of how not to allow ourselves to be involved in contention. Proverbs 3, verse 30. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not strive with a man without cause. Don't create a situation of conflict if there's no reason for that. There are some people who seem to thrive off of controversy. They seem to thrive off of conflict. And in the context in which this appears, Solomon often will speak of a man who is a whisperer, who separates chief friends. He will speak with those who speak words that create conflict. Don't strive if you don't have to. Don't seek conflict. You can prevent it. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. When there's no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. One of the greatest things we could do to stop the flames of problems within our homes is to remove the wood that causes it, is to remove the fuel that keeps it going. Sometimes we ourselves could step back and say, I'm not going to be a part of the problem. I'll be a part of the solution. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will get it when you have it with you. The basic principle of these two verses is, if you have the ability to do good, do it. If you have the ability to help, help. If you have the ability to make things better, do it. So many people say, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to wait to a more opportune time when it will benefit me more. No. You want to prevent problems in your home? Give a word of encouragement when it's not necessary or not due. Give a person encouragement when they need it. And you could prevent many of the problems. Now, the reason why I chose those is because that's all the time I felt like I could allot to that particular part. Because there's so much that Solomon has to say. And I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. Read it for a part of your devotional reading. Read it with various purposes in mind. Read it through to say, what does Solomon say that can help me in my home? And those verses that we've considered are all relating to prevention. But now what happens if a difficulty has already arisen within our home? What if a problem has already taken place? Well, the book of Proverbs reveals how to deal with them. And as you begin to start asking, well, what areas does Solomon address? He addresses forgiveness. How that one ought to forgive others. He addresses how to speak to one another. That's necessary. He addresses how to control anger and conflict. Several years ago, one of the judges here in Warren County used to assign people who came in after having problems with domestic violence that they had to go and receive 4 to 8 hours of counseling. He would say that you can either choose a professional counselor or you can choose a preacher of a local church. And during that period of time, I had a number of different people who would call and say, we have to have 4 hours of counseling. We have to have 8 hours of counseling. Will you do it for us? And I generally said, yes, if possible. But I would tell every one of them when they came in the door, you came to me, I didn't come to you. And so now that you're here, we're going to study the book of Proverbs. And I had a list about 2 pages long of passages from Proverbs that dealt with issues relating to their domestic conflict. And what I did, I said, we're going to engage in a Bible study. And they would do that. They knew they had to have 4 hours because the judge had said, if you don't have the person to sign off on your counseling, bring your toothbrush because you're going to jail. So I had a lot of willing participants. Let's look at some of those verses. Solomon said, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. The disposition that one has in his heart can have a lot to do with whether or not problems get resolved. If you have hatred, you have ill will, you have malice in your heart, you're going to find it difficult to solve problems. On the other hand, if you will exhibit love and you will show love to one another, you can deal with a lot of the conflicts that will arise. Because love covers not most sins. Love covers all sins. Going along with that, Proverbs 19 and verse 11, Solomon writes, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. I will tell you that when people come in and they have conflict, here's what will invariably happen. Most of them will be very timid and very quiet in the beginning. But then shortly after one reveals something, then the other one feels like they've got to reveal something. And then you notice they pull in a big sack. And inside of that sack is everything that a person has ever said, ever done that's been wrong, and they pull them out one by one. And they begin to say, 7 years ago, around the first of the year, he did this. 9 years ago, she said that. And what you find is that never was a sin forgiven, never was a transgression covered, and people learn to not forgive. Solomon says that it is a glory for a man to overlook a transgression. It is a glory for a person to overlook a mistake of their spouse. Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. It's honorable. I know we sometimes don't think like that. We think, I have got to be the one who gets the last lick in. I've got to be able to have the last word said. I've got to be able to be the one who makes my point. And Solomon says, it's honorable for a man to stop quarreling. Why? Since any fool can start a quarrel. Anybody can start it, but it takes a person of conviction, it takes a person of power, it takes a person of ability to stop it. You want to have a prescription to make things better in your home? When problems develop and difficulties come, stop it. Don't let it go any further. Proverbs 29 in verse 11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A foolish person will say everything that's on his mind and says it while it's on his mind. There's some people who want you to be able to say anything and everything. And when they do, they find themselves afterward wishing they had not said certain things. Solomon says here, a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 17 verse 19 said, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. You love transgression, you love the problems, you love the difficulties, then strife is going to come along with that. Chapter 19 verse 19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. What Solomon is trying to tell you is there's certain patterns of behavior that repeat themselves. Here's a person who blows up and you rescue the situation. Then it comes along and he blows up again and you rescue the situation. Pretty soon you have become an enabler of bad behavior. And what Solomon is trying to say is, if you have a person who is of great wrath, you need to start the intervention now. You need to stop it now. Young couples, if you've got a problem with anger, if you've got a problem with difficulty, you need to stop the anger now. Don't assume this is all right to keep on going year after year after year, because if you do, you're only enabling bad behavior to continue. Proverbs 19 verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. What you find in Solomon's statement here, and I'm going to go ahead and put chapter 21, verse 9 with that, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. It's not just that the women are contentious and the men are not. It's not just that the sons are foolish and that the daughters might not be. What he's pointing out is the fact that there are behaviors that continue to be perpetuated. It's easy to become a nagging wife. It's easy to become a foolish son. It's easy to become an overbearing father. It's easy to let yourself to go in a direction. But what Solomon is trying to say is, it's not pleasant. It's not good. It's not happy. It's not where a person wants to live. You want a prescription for it? Deal with those problems. Proverbs 30 verse 33 says, for as the churning of milk produces butter, so the wringing of noses produces blood, so as the forcing of wrath produces strife. We know there's some things that bring about other things. He said, you know, you can churn milk and you can get butter. You can wring the nose and you'll get blood. You can push the anger, you can push the wrath, and you're going to have strife. And yet some people just push problems in their lives. Proverbs 22:10, in addressing those issues, says, cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. You want to make your home a better place, get rid of the anger. Get rid of the strife. Get rid of the wrath. In Proverbs 15, verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he is slow to anger, allays contention. Proverbs 17, verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Dry morsel. You don't have much. Just have a small, dry piece of bread. He says, better is that than to have a house full of feasting, but have strife with it. To go along with that passage, Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than the fatted calf with hatred. So many people in life are pursuing the wrong things. They're pursuing the wealth. They're pursuing all of the things that man can acquire in this life. And they want to be able to have a house full of wonderful possessions. But when they get them, the struggles and the strife of life are there. And Solomon is trying to say, it's better to be a little poor. It's better to have a little less. And be in a home where joy and happiness thrives than to have so many things and no love for one another. Our society drives people to have more possessions. Our society drives us to think, if I don't have this or I don't have that, I'm not complete. And because of that, families are suffering. And Solomon says, it's better to have the less and have the joy and have the happiness. Families face times when things are not right. It's best to prevent them wherever possible. Solomon would say, if you have difficulties in your marriage, in your home, in your family, best thing to do is to prevent them. But if you do have difficulties, God's Word provides the prescription for those troubles. And as I studied through this lesson, I thought so much, God's family could learn a great deal from these lessons about the family and the home. If you will, open your songbook now to the song of invitation. If you're here this morning and you're not a New Testament Christian, you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repented of your sins, confessed your faith in Him, and been baptized, we'd like to encourage you to do that this morning. We've already had this past week one young man do that, and what a great honor and a privilege that is. And it may be that you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, and what a great honor this morning it would be to see some young man, some young woman, or some older man, some older woman become a Christian.